In the Know is powered by the Minnesota Daily. Listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome back to In the Know.
Breaking down the used news.
We're your hosts.
Mariah King. Oh.
And Luke Diamond.
There we go. We're keeping that. That's good. I like that. That was totally unplanned. That's just an illustration of how exhausted we are after Election Day yesterday. Wowzers.
It was exhilarating. It was excruciating and everything in between. What a trip.
Election Day is not unlike, for journalists, is not unlike the Super Bowl for sports fans.
That is accurate, except for instead of just watching one very heated game, you're watching all these different races play out on so many different screens in so many different areas. I mean, you were in Bloomington, weren't you?
I was in Bloomington. I covered the GOP election night, kept an eye on Jeff Johnson, who didn't do so hot, but still had a good time covering the event. And you were at the opposite parties.
Yes, event. I was at the DFL convention in St. Paul. I have never seen so many people wearing blue in my life.
What do we got for the news this week?
First up on our docket is that the MSA is introducing an initiative that would encourage students to wear this protective gear.
Condom.
Nope. Close though. Helmets. Once the MSA initiative rolls out in March, students will get discounts for wearing their helmets at local businesses.
Hey, that's nice. Eric Kaler is leaving, but his vice president is not. Karen Hansen said that despite previous announcements that she might be headed out, that she is going to be staying at the university, and she plans to stick around until the next president comes in, and then if he has different plans for the vice president position, she'll leave, but for the meantime, she's here to stay.
Lastly, on our news roundup, University of Minnesota researchers have recently discovered a new way to treat pain without the use of prescription drugs.
Oh, interesting. Without the use of drugs. So is it... massage therapy or something?
It combines rehabilitative exercises such as aerobic warm-ups, stretching, strengthening, and this little thing called spinal manipulative therapy.
Oh, yikes. That sounds like it would cause pain instead of like relieve pain. Spinal manipulative therapy. So that's it for the small news this week, but we all know what the big news is.
Elections.
All right. Truth or dare, you choose truth. Did you vote this week?
Of course I voted this week, and I sported that little red sticker like nobody's business.
The real question is, though, did you Instagram your little red sticker?
I believe so. If nothing else, I live tweeted the entire DFL convention.
Okay, so you get a free pass if you didn't like Instagram your sticker.
I mean, I still voted, and I feel like that's the most important part.
Yes, true. Good point.
And what about you, Luke? Did you do your civic duty?
Yes, ma'am. Sure did. Got out there to the little Lutheran church in Dinkytown, cast my ballot, and then went to class. Yeah, wow.
That, kids, is the true American dream.
Alrighty, let's get to the episode.
I'm Austin Maclis. I'm a reporter here at The Daily. I usually cover administration here at the U and higher education issues.
But we were just talking, and for the last 3-4 weeks, you've been focusing on student voting, correct?
Yep. So in Minnesota, you know, over half of our congressional races, our 8 congressional districts, are, you know, competitive races that could play a really big role in shaping the makeup of Congress is going to be like next year. And, you know, we have students from, you know, across the state here at the U, and many of them are going to be utilizing the state's absentee voting system or going home to vote on Election Day in their home districts.
I am Isabella Murray, and I cover state legislature.
Those are going to be tight races. Polling's really, really tight in those races, and students could have a big impact.
So, as a voting block, students have historically a pretty bad turnout.
18 to 24-year-olds vote at far lower numbers than the rest of the population. Last midterm election, 2 out of 3 University of Minnesota students didn't vote. That was the same for the midterm before that. Even in the presidential race, right, 1 out of 3 University of Minnesota students didn't vote.
But this year, something changed.
Students are actually getting a lot more motivated and activated around campus, especially.
Yeah, that's what the folks who are working in politics are saying, is that they've seen, you know, a lot of energy across the electorate, across the populace, but especially in young people.
Students are actually very involved this election, which is shown by early vote numbers, by door knocking, phone banking, which is interesting and a testament to, more than not, the political climate that we're in right now.
Do you have any sense of whether this increased participation in young people is something that's being generated from the inside and the young people themselves are more eager to get out to the polls, or that somehow the candidates are more effectively drawing people out and getting people politically involved? Like, is it more of an internal force or an external draw?
So I think it's a mixture of both.
Yeah, there are a few different factors.
This is the first election where students had noticed their lack of participation in the last election was significant.
The 2016 presidential election.
So them not showing out for this 2016 presidential election had impact, and they're noticing now that they can turn it around.
Political science experts say that close races tend to drive up participation, and so with so many close races in Minnesota, that's a contributing factor. There's also, you know, the quote-unquote Trump effect. You know, one of the persons I talked to was saying that, you know, Trump has been a huge contributing factor. He's made politics part of pop culture, and he's made students, you know, forced to reckon with, you know, politics and the outcomes of voting or not voting. Mm-hmm. And probably the last thing here, there has been a lot of engagement with some local candidates who have been, you know, engaging students on campus, who have been organizing on campus for a few years now, in particular Representative Ilhan Omar. The DFL organizer that I talked to said, you know, Representative Omar took such a conscious, you know, decision to engage with students that in 2016 and in the primaries for the city elections and the municipal elections in 2017, engagement in student-populated areas has really gone up. And voting turnouts, at least in the primary, have really gone up in those areas as well.
For Democratic students, a lot of the things that's happening right now on a federal level is kind of leaving a bad taste in their mouth. I've talked to students who are not excited with the current administration. They're looking for change. On the Republican side, a lot of students are excited about their candidates either to reelect them or to, you know, kind of vote in new Republican members to keep the momentum going.
All of this speculation led up to an exciting election night. Here were some of the big moments.
And tonight, we made history. Amy was the first woman to be elected senator for Minnesota.
Believes in religious liberty. For an America that does not only welcome refugees and immigrants, but they send them to Washington.
Thank you again. I'm on to a different chapter in my life. And again, I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know where God's going to lead me, but I can't wait to find out. So thank you all for everything you've done.
Thank you. We say this whole campaign. This is not a state that fears a future. This is a state that creates the future.
My name is Tiffany Bue. I cover neighborhoods. So the Humphrey School of Public Affairs hosted a post-election analysis. They gathered some panelists, two Republicans, two Democrats. Notably, one of the Democrats is Ilhan Omar. She's the congresswoman-elect for our district. Yeah, and they were really there to kind of talk about, you know, what happened, how did it happen, and what's the future for these two parties.
And what were their conclusions? Like, what were some of the takeaways?
What was really important from that I took away was that both the Democrats and the Republicans that were on that panel really see Trump as a big factor that influenced their state elections in a way that they didn't really care for. The Republicans, both Republicans, both seem to kind of blame Trump's influence for the Republicans losing their seats. Seems like a lot of voters voted in backlash for what the Trump administration was doing and kind of placing that on the shoulders of local Republicans, even if they don't necessarily align themselves with Trump's agenda. The Democrats saw that as a win because people turned out against him.
So after last night, the Democrats control the House of Representatives. The Republicans control, obviously, the executive branch, but then also the Senate. Did they talk at all about what that means now that the Democrats have the House back?
It means, at least on the state level, it means that Democrats can push the issue that they really care about, which is health care. I don't know how much students know about the finer points of their health care plan, but yeah, agenda setting is an important thing a party in power can do. And it's kind of directing, you know, everyone, including students, hey, this is what you should be paying attention to.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.